Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the beloved Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Daniel Foster, news editor at National Review Online, in for Jim Garrity, who's at the blogger convention down in Charlotte, North Carolina this weekend. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And Dan, our good martini potentially is the fact that there is a Democratic senator for the third consecutive presidential cycle who will actually cast a ballot for the Republican nominee. In 2004, Zell Miller not only voted for George W. Bush, he gave the keynote address at the Republican convention. In 2008, Joe Lieberman backed John McCain, although I guess he wasn't technically a Democrat, but he still caucused with them and probably was McCain's real first choice for vice president. And now Joe Manchin, former governor and now senator from West Virginia, not saying he'll vote for Mitt Romney, but certainly saying that it's possible that he won't vote for Barack Obama. So that doesn't leave a whole lot of other options at this point in the game. We know that West Virginia is getting pounded by Obama environmental regulations, and the state is expected to go overwhelmingly for Romney. So if he were to vote for Romney, this wouldn't exactly be a profile in courage and probably more of a job-saving operation. But it still gives Republicans a great talking point that someone of Manchin's stature is very seriously considering voting against the leader of his own party.
Yeah, unlike Joe Lieberman, I don't think he'll be Romney's VP nominee. And unlike Miller, I don't think he'll be challenging any TV host to a duel. But it's good news. You know, there's kind of a, I hate to insult the man because it seems like he could be good for Republicans' chances in 2012. But there's always a kind of moderate centrist Democrat weasel that's a bellwether in these things. It's usually Ben Nelson. It was Ben Nelson during the Obamacare debate, and it was Zell Miller in the Bush administration and a couple other guys. And now it's Joe Manchin has proudly taken up the mantle of the centrist Democrat Southern weasel who is ready to jump ship onto the Republican side and off of it, depending on which way the winds are blowing. If for no other reason than that, this is a good bellwether early on for how the middle third of this country and the middle third of Manchin's constituents there in West Virginia are viewing the Obama presidency. And it, unrelated note, but it's the same sort of principle. Rich Lowry, my boss, brought up this morning, and I think it's a good parallel, that Jimmy Carter was very personally popular even late into 1980. And President Obama continues to be very personally popular, and a big deal is made out of the fact that he outstrips Romney pretty handily in personal popularity. But we all know that Ronald Reagan still won that election, so it's not necessarily the best indicator. More indicative to me is where these centrists are, which way they're leaning. That's why I think this Manchin thing is kind of a big deal.
Dan, I like that parallel with 1980 because it also dovetails perfectly with our bad martini today. You mentioned that Carter was personally popular back then, but of course a horrific economy did him in. A horrific economy is still a big problem for this president, and we've got more evidence of that today in a new report from the Wall Street Journal. A number of Americans and the amount of money being spent on food stamps has just skyrocketed just in the last 4 years. It's been a 70% increase in the amount of money spent on the food stamp program. And if you don't factor in administrative costs, it's more than doubled. The total rolls is about 45 million people. I mean, that's
One in seven Americans, yeah.
Unbelievable. So for a president who I guess is running against success, this apparently fits his platform well.
Right. The number that stood out at me is that in the last 4 years, spending on food stamps has more than doubled. It's $30 billion to $72 billion at its height, and it's going to stay high, according to projections, through at least 2014 before it starts to reduce again. And look, it is an indication. I think Newt Gingrich was right. I mean, he took a lot of crap and for calling President Obama the most successful food stamp president in history. But there was a powerful rhetorical and a powerful underlying truth to that. And you certainly don't want your presidency to be associated with a record number of people on the government dole. This is actually when it comes to the grand scheme of entitlements, food stamps aren't that big of a deal, but they're indicative of a country that, is not growing its way out of a recession in the way you'd like to see it. New jobs, cutting regulations, opening up opportunities for small businesses to grow. You don't like to see spending increase on handout programs. You'd like to see it targeted at things that are actually increasing productivity in the real economy. And another interesting note here is that President Obama called the Paul Ryan budget a socially Darwinist budget and criticized its draconian cuts for, among other things, arguing that food stamp spending should go back to late Clinton, early Bush levels over the next decade. When you put what Ryan is calling for in the context of more than doubling the spending that we do on food stamps in the last 4 years, it's not especially draconian. It's just trying to get us back to a point where the economy wasn't so awful.
Yeah, that's a very difficult argument for the president to make and claim that he's still making progress on the economy. But it's the only hand he's got to play. So hopefully the American people will see what a lousy hand it really is. So, Dan, for our final and crazy martini today, I want you to join me in the Wayback Machine to 2008. Remember when we couldn't even say the president's middle name back when he was running for president? Because to reference his whole name, that was xenophobic and trying to confuse people with the impression that he was a Muslim. And even if he was Muslim, you know, there's a constitutional provision against a religious test for office. We weren't allowed to talk about that. Yeah, well, apparently Mormonism doesn't fall into that same category because we'd seen fits and starts with that before with Jim and I talked about the Charles Blow controversy a few weeks ago. Well, now apparently there's a coordinated assault because Lawrence O'Donnell basically said he's more than happy to attack Mormons but won't say the same thing about Islam. He was talking about polygamy among Mormons. Somebody said, well, Muhammad did the same thing. Why don't you say the same about him? And he's like, well, I don't fear for my life when I criticize Mormons. So I feel comfortable talking about that with them. Then you've got Martin Bashir on MSNBC, because he thinks Romney is lying about the president's record, condemning him to hell via the Book of Mormon. And now you've got the governor of Montana, Brian Schweitzer, saying that he doesn't think a certain demographics, I think it's Hispanics actually, would not warm up to Mitt Romney because his great-grandfather was a polygamist. And of course, you have a lot of bloggers today pointing out that the president's dad was a polygamist. So not sure that dog's going to hunt either, but
what a choice of metaphors there too. You're not sure that dog's going to hunt, are you?
Completely unintentional, but I'll take it anyway.
I'll tell you, that made me crack up authentically there, because as I was saying on the corner yesterday about this whole Obama ate a dog story, and just in case our listeners don't realize, Obama has literally murdered and eaten hundreds of dogs. I think that's on record, right? Just like with that story yesterday, it's the most perfect example of being hoisted by your own petard in the history of, I think in the history of presidential campaigns. This is even better, using the fact that Mitt Romney's great-grandfather and grandfather were polygamous in another country in another century, and then somebody pointing out straight away that the president's father, you know, one generation less removed, same thing. I mean, that's great. But, you know, I actually, on the serious topic of Mormonism and Romney's religion, I think this is one of the most insidious and dangerous and condescending things that liberals and progressives do. There's this double standard where white people and Americans and conservatives and people who are considered to be culturally powerful or politically powerful have one standard applied to them for things like religious belief, sexism, racism, all the isms. And the others, the third worlders, the brown people, the foreigners, the Muslims, the, you know, various minority and perceived to be oppressed groups have another standard, a condescending standard, and almost they don't know any better standard. And I think you're seeing that on display here. And that's, I mean, it's one of the most racist things that the left does. And the irony is that they think they're doing it in the name of tolerance.
I think it's a little bit of an interesting parallel with conservative Christians. I know a lot of them don't consider Mormonism to be Christianity. They see it as a separate religion, but apparently they are the only ones who are fair game. They have that in common in terms of when the liberal lynch mob is out. So we'll see if this persists and whether it unfortunately gains any traction for the left. But my guess is that even people who aren't that sympathetic to Mormonism are not going to want to see this nonstop all the way to November. So let's hope they're right. Dan, as always, great to have you filling in for Jim. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you later.
You too, Greg. Thanks.
Daniel Foster is the news editor at National Review Online. Jim Garrity should be back on Monday, assuming he survives the blogger convention. I'm Craig Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for the 3 Martini Lunch. We'll see you on Monday.